All right, guys, welcome to today's deal case study Friday focus episode here on the Collecting Keys Real Estate Investing Podcast. If this is your first time to one of these episodes, on these episodes, we do a little deep dive into a deal that someone from our scale community has recently completed and sort of hear how they put the deal together and what exactly it looked like. And our whole goal of these episodes is to see what real estate deals look like and not just the highlight reel that you hear on Bigger Pockets and all these other sort of places, right? So Emma and Kyle, we are super excited to have you on the show today. And I think you're actually our first like couple guest I think we've ever had on the show. So we're gonna have a couple firsts on this one because your first couple guests, you're also our first deal deep dive that's been like something larger than a small residential property. So I guess we had somebody do a multi, but yours is a little bit larger than that even still. So guys, super excited to have you on the show. So on these episodes, we ask everyone these same three questions. So we get a little bit of uniformity across the episodes. So first off, what kind of deal was this? And what was the asset type specifically?
It was an RV park, the cozy RV park.
Cozy RV park. Yeah. And your exit strategy was?
We wholesaled it.
Wholesaled an RV park. And you just made all these people that think that they want to accumulate assets shudder in horror when you had an RV park in your grips and you decided to walk away from it and make some money instead. But there's a good reason for that. And second question, what was this seller? How'd you find this? And what exactly was the demographic of the seller?
This was an RV park owned by a couple they owned about 30 years.
Nice.
And we wrote them a handwritten letter one time and they called and we met the wife at Starbucks.
Perfect. Easy enough.
They were older. They were like probably in their 70s.
Sweet. So burned out older landlord, simple direct mail. It's about as basic as it gets. Nothing fancy, no AI texting machines or whatever people do try to use these days. Just standard letter to the most basic list, which is the absentee owners, which is awesome. All right. So let's get the full story on this deal, what the initial negotiation looked like, what the due diligence you went through with. I know that was extensive, what the ultimate exit looked like. And I know you did quite well. So let's start from the beginning. How did the initial conversation go?
Yeah, actually, it was Kyle's idea. He wanted to reach out to some more niche lists. And so we went to the title company and had them pull lists for RV parks and mobile home parks in the area.
Nice.
I had the brilliant idea of handwriting the letters and Kyle got to execute that, which he just loved.
Hey, you're delegating. That's like scale 101 right there.
We always have ideas for each other.
So we handwrote, there was maybe about 30 of them. And probably 2 months later, I just got a text from someone and she just said, planning on selling the Cozy RV Park this spring. I'll get back to you. Something kind of vague. And yeah, I just scheduled an appointment. Like Kyle said, we met at Starbucks. We just chatted for a while about the RV park. So they actually did live on site in a single wide, an older single wide. The RV park had about 10 spots, so it was quite small. And yeah, they were burnt out. They wanted to move. So she told us a price, which was $500,000. And we actually thought that was reasonable. And we kind of just started doing some due diligence because we had never analyzed an RV park before. So
yeah. Did you contract that $500,000 before you did due diligence or did you try to do the due diligence first?
Before we agreed to that price?
Yeah. So they gave you the price. Were you like, yeah, we agreed to that. Did you get it signed around so that she doesn't go and shop it to other people?
Yeah, we did. And that was like a huge thing where I was like, I'm not going to write you an offer and then wait a week.
Yeah.
I was like, if I'm bringing back an offer, I want you to sign it. And he was a good old boy. We shook hands. He loved us. My dad used to race snowmobiles. Jack used to race snowmobiles. And we just kind of like bonded on some stuff. And we brought back a 6-pack of Coronas and had a beer with him. And then he said, give me the evening and I'll sign it tomorrow.
Nice.
Which they did. And we did our due diligence, like, or on the car ride to Emma's office, just like crunching quick numbers, like pretty sure we can make this work.
Yeah. So how did you even know how to start? Right. Because I know that's one of the biggest questions that we get asked a lot when you get a lead that is atypical from residential real estate, which is very sort of bread and butter. Right. So you were doing due diligence in the car where you would you just like put on like a YouTube video of like how to analyze RV parks and you guys were like listening to that when you were driving or what were you doing?
Listen to a couple of those before we looked at it.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely some videos. I mean, obviously, first we just like, right, adding up rent, like very simple, like what's the income? They said that they basically didn't have any expenses, which of course that's not true. So we're trying to look up what are the typical expenses of an RV park. But yeah, very basic from the beginning. Like we were like using ChatGPT to try to analyze this deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did. I met a guy up at Schweitzer that buys RV parks, like huge ones, like Four Season, like multi-million dollar resorts. And we were talking about RV parks. So I gave him a quick call and he actually had coffee with us and gave us his 2 cents.
Nice.
About how it was a whole nother league. Like he was like in the hospitality resort and this was a month-to-month RV park in North Idaho.
That's full of probably permanent residents, I would guess.
Yep. Yeah. So it was a little different. Like it was a little closer to like a multifamily almost, or like analyzing something like that than like a full-on resort with staff and stuff like that.
Sure. Probably a lot of similarities to like a mobile home park. So I know that when you originally sent it out, I mean, you sent it to us as well to look at, and there was a lot of concerns around the sanitation and the electricity and different things, just like there would be with a mobile home park as well. So that's great. So you contracted it, which is awesome. I love that you guys did that. Such a huge mistake I think people make is they have like kind of a verbal offer, but they're not comfortable in the close yet. And so they wait to get under contract. And then just the way the universe works, what always happens is some other random person will call them and offer a number that is probably more than you're willing to pay, just because like, why would that not happen, right? That's just, I don't know, the way things always seem to go. So you have it under contract. What were your initial sort of like next steps once you started underwriting it? Was your original intention to close on it? Was it to monetize it? And how did you start going through that process?
Yeah, our initial plan was definitely to close on it. I think we kind of romanticized the idea of like running this RV park and moving out there and it would be so cute. And then when I really thought about it, I was like, okay, what I really would be doing is managing people who live in an RV full time. That's not that cute. So then we just decided, yeah, we wanted to wholesale it. It'd be a lot easier.
I would say you and Dan influenced that. I was about the time we discovered Collecting Keys podcast and massive income over passive income. And we really took like a step back and looked at it from that lens. And I think that helped us decide our philosophy a little more on what we wanted to accomplish.
Yeah. And I do think that you made a wise decision ending up wholesaling it. And so when you first started to wholesale it, you were just looking at like a traditional assignment fee, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, and then I know inside, just having followed you through with this, that didn't work out. And for various reasons, rural, price point, things like that. And so you ended up having to go back and renegotiate. So what was that process like?
Yeah, basically, I was kind of managing dispo and talking to buyers. And I was getting the same feedback from every buyer, which was that they were having a hard time making the numbers work, you know, with their hard money loan or whatever. No one wanted to put, obviously, $500,000 cash into this deal. So kind of every single person had asked me, will they sell or finance it? Will they sell or finance it? Originally, the answer had been no. But after I had enough buyers asking, yeah, just approached the sellers again, told them the challenges we were facing and said, you know, hey, everyone's asking for this. Is it something you guys would reconsider? And they said they'd think about it. And they got back to me the next day with the terms that they would consider. And we shopped those out to some buyers and we actually ended up texting some people. It was like, it was late one night. We were like actually sitting at the bar, I think, like texting some people like, hey, here's where we're at. And some guy who had come to see it that night, he was like, if those are the new terms, he was like, put me down. I want it.
Nice. That's awesome. And so what were those terms that you ended up negotiating? Because they were from the seller, right? You didn't have to like, they seemed like they're relatively savvy. So they knew what they wanted.
Yeah, I basically just asked them, you know, what would you guys need for a down payment and what would you need for monthly payments? And they said they needed $150,000 down and they wanted $2,000 a month. And even though that was quite a big down payment, we just happened to have a buyer who was willing to pay that. And then, yeah, we tacked our assignment fee onto that down payment.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they had that big of a down payment on that deal.
Yeah.
So when would you guys end up adding on as assignment fee?
$50K. So they brought $200,000 down.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is such a great deal too, because you found someone that had $200,000 to bring to this. It had a favorable terms for that person, but you had to hustle to find that. And I don't want to understate how awesome it is that you guys did that, because the most common tactic that people have is they kind of like send it out to a list. And if they don't get any like super hard bites at like a relatively simple deal, they just go, oh, it's dead. And then they drop it. But you guys are out there hitting the pavement and you found this person. Like who even was this person that has 200K to put into this? You don't have to get their name, but like what kind of person was this that's willing to do that?
Shop for buyers?
Yeah. Right.
No, he was a local electrician. He owned an electrician business with his dad. Well, I don't know how to, yeah. But he was an investor. He had a couple single family rentals. And then, I don't know, he was really had money ready to go.
Man, just.
He makes massive income in it with his electrician business and he's buying real estate with it.
I mean, that's the way to do it though, right? Like honestly, is so many people that are out there that are quote unquote real estate tycoons. I mean, they didn't make their money from a W-2 job. They had another business, whether that's in real estate or not, and they use it to invest after the fact.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And then as we went through, is there any other like due diligence or anything, or he was just happy to go with those terms?
Due diligence was pretty minimal. He did go out there and the seller showed him the septic system, which was, it was a large septic system, obviously, for an RV park. And
yeah,
but it was really quite minimal on his end.
Nice.
So made it pretty easy for us.
Easy done. And obviously, I guess, too, going back to when you went and renegotiated the seller finance situation, you said that people that you're talking to, that was what they wanted. So you were open to them about the fact that you were wholesaling and you're finding another buyer.
Yeah, they knew we were someone else was buying it. And they even asked Emma. So all the dispo credit goes to Emma. She worked with the buyers and the sellers. And there were the sellers asked her if she was like needed money for it. She was like, no, I'm going to make money on it. And they knew about it. And
nice.
They actually are using Emma as their buyer's agent to shop for a new house right now.
That's awesome. See, yeah. So many like just bad sort of, honestly, rumors or things like that around wholesaling, you just completely obliterated in this. You were transparent with the seller about your intentions. They know you made money. You provided them a good enough service. They're willing to give you more business, right? They got exactly what they wanted. The buyer's super stoked. And yet all of us wholesalers have a bad reputation, but it sounds like every single person is happy with how this ended. And you guys made a very, very healthy fee. So
Yeah. And it was an assignment. It wasn't like a double close. So the electrician, he was happy that we made money. And he was like, I'm going to start saving and find me another one.
Nice. That's awesome, guys. Yeah. Congratulations. That's such a great deal. And so you got that $50,000 to kind of seed fund you guys really leaning into growing your business. What have you put that towards so far?
We've upped our marketing and we are now going to close on the first on this. We're calling it a compound. It has four houses and a mobile home.
Yeah.
So we're putting some of that towards a partnership of splitting those lots and selling them individually.
Nice. And you're going to multiply that money very, very quickly doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't really feel like we made 50 grand because it's already spent in my head all on our business.
Yeah. Well, also we had like no money going into this, like no money.
Yeah.
And so we needed to get this done and we hustled to get done. And so a lot of that money was kind of set aside in our own like personal reserve account and just to like be able to afford to live and to continue marketing.
Yeah, there you go. And it's funny, Emma, you say that you spent this money already in your business. You invested it in your business.
Thank you for that
correction. And instead of ending up with an RV park that was going to become like a weird trailer park boys type of job, you're instead investing this into the next deal that you sourced where you're going to be separating these lots that you're going to make potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars on. So we'll see how it pans out over the next couple of months, but it could have been you had basically a reality TV show or something.
Honestly, sounds like a missed opportunity.
To be fair, if you turned it into a YouTube channel, you could have probably made more money just living your day-to-day life, but
get to know these tenants.
Yeah. I will personally say that I think you guys made the right decision and you're going to be very, very happy that you chose to do that as we look forward to the next few months.
Yeah. Felt good to get it done. So
sweet. Thanks, man. That's good to hear.
Absolutely. Well, guys, congratulations on that success. That's a really, really solid deal. And everybody listening, these are the kind of things that you can do if you start sourcing your own opportunities and you just get out there and start hustling. Because you guys, I will say, I'm super, super stoked to have you guys in the Scale community. And you guys are one of those people that I can already tell that I mean, even already, but like looking ahead a few months from now, you're going to be one of those people that I will selfishly be like, hell yeah, I got to see them go through their initial climb and get to that phase where they are now absolutely crushing it up here in the Northwest. So super excited to see all that pan out. But. Awesome, guys. Well, thanks for listening. If you guys have socials or anything, people can reach out to you, maybe ask some questions.
Sure. You can reach out to me on Instagram at the Emma Greenwood.
Yeah, you can reach out to me via loose_tribe on Instagram.
I'm not even going to ask what that's alluding to, but I'll just keep it to myself.
Just go on there, click follow, and you'll see.
Okay. There you go. There you go, guys. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Go ahead and shoot them a follow on Instagram, and you will be able to see, say that you followed Emma Greenwood and Mr. Loose Tribe himself before they became mega into off-market real estate space. So go ahead, give them a follow and reach out to them if you have any questions or you admire what they did, because you definitely should, because they're out there crushing it. So thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you guys next week.